This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:44, almost 6:45. You are with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam on the evening edition. Now, we are moving on to our next story, and it is actually about whether changes in our festive food means an erosion of culture. So this is after a study by ATMA, or the Institute of the Malay World and Civilization at UKM. They suggested that traditional Malay foods are increasingly being replaced with non-Malay food during Hari Raya, and this may indicate an erosion of cultural identity.
So the study looked at the cultural and health aspects of festive food based on the choice of words used on Twitter during this year's Hari Raya. And it found that while some traditional food like ketupat and rendang are still considered core foods, there is a shift in terms of primary, side and dessert foods. So for example, desserts like agar-agar merah are being replaced by fruit punch, and there are other foods as well that are being served during Hari Raya. For example, Arabic roasted mutton or Italian lasagna and spaghetti.
And I just want to ask a question of you, Ayman. Your mother, I believe, was before she retired, was with the
ATMA, yeah,
with ATMA, mm-hmm. And this is not one of the organisations that was recently turning up. One of the university organisations turning up at the
congress,
that Malay respect thing. We've had discussions between us about the methodology involved here. Not entirely sure, but I think that anecdotally we can agree that we have seen changes, but not necessarily as profound as the ATMA survey is suggesting.
Yeah, because like during Raya, right? In my household, we're still having the typical traditional food, ketupat rendang, kuah kacang, and whatnot. So I can't really agree that there is some kind of replacement of traditional Malay food with like non-Malay food, because I mean, me personally, I don't observe that. But I mean, when I think about it again, there are just like those tiny things like pineapple tarts, which I guess isn't like traditional Malay biscuit or whatever, but I wouldn't equate it to an erosion of cultural identity.
Because what is traditional? What do we mean by that? We mean something that we can remember from our own lifetime. Mm-hmm. But if I go back to, say, my grandfather's table, mm-hmm. what was on his table, I would imagine that the dishes were completely different, because there were factors involved then where I know that he, for instance, in his household, had a lot of people in the kitchen, which we can't have now.
Right.
So food that was created was labor intensive. We just simply can't do. Hmm. At the same time, though, the richness of the food, the raw ingredients that we can purchase now, would have blown him away. If I look at photographs of my grandfather's generation, my great-grandfather's generation, they were really skinny. In fact, my grandfather was one of the fat ones, and he would be skinny by today's standards. So I would say that actually, I think that things are moving all the time, actually move faster than we imagine.
Well, just on that note, we have this message here asking, what are you guys cooking? What are you guys making or particularly looking forward to when it comes to Raya then?
Rendang. I mean, I just...
Yeah, definitely. I
mean, yeah, it can't be.
But especially for someone whose kampung is in Seremban, Negeri Sembilan, rendang is the thing.
But even then, the dishes, the rendang, I found, I mean, across the board with Malay food, it is getting sweeter and sweeter.
Hmm.
I think there's more and more sugar being involved, mm-hmm. which I do not remember from the past. I mean, satay now is almost a dessert.
Huh.
It is so sweet.
Hmm. Have you noticed Malay foods increasingly being replaced by non-Malay foods during Hari Raya? We'd love to hear from you. You know, this is a study coming up from UKM. You can call us 7733.
But not just Malay food. I mean, across the board.
Yeah, like other festivities as well.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
you. Don't let us Malay boys dominate the conversation.
It's rare that it happens. Well, if you notice cultural foods, traditionally cultural foods, going missing from the dinner table, you can let us know. 7733-2900. What's WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Neej Arifin, food and heritage historian. It's good to have you with us. Do you think this methodology of using tweets sort of gives an accurate reflection of what is happening on the ground? Would you agree that we are consuming less traditional food?
I think that the methodology is okay. Of course, it could be more accurate if done on a wider sampling, but at least for an immediate trial, then I think the trend is correct. There is a move away from traditional foods and towards more international or even Western foods for the festive season.
And do you see this shift happening for all the different types of local cuisines we have in Malaysia?
Yes, I think it is affecting most of the traditional cuisines, maybe some particular dishes more than others. But as a general rule, I unfortunately think that it is affecting most of the traditional fare in all our cultures in Malaysia.
And what would you attribute to this shift in taste preference?
Okay, partly it's to do with marketing. Many of these other foods that are taking over, in a way, are marketed quite well. There's slick marketing. And even without the festive season, for example, you know, the Western donuts, for example, yeah? Any kind of these donuts that are available in malls and all that, they're very convenient. The marketing is very slick, it's colorful, it's glitzy. So people start to gravitate towards these kind of snacks and stuff. And so the traditional fare, which is less marketed, less glitzy in its marketing, loses out. As simple as that.
Is this a more urban phenomenon, in your opinion?
To a large extent, yes. I think it is a bit more urban. When we look at the rural areas, it's less for the simple reason that you don't find all these glitzy mall-related foods in the rural areas. So they do have more of the traditional kuih or traditional dishes, which are more easily cooked at home. So yes, I think it's a bit more of an urban phenomenon.
So having said that, right, how long have we had the practice of eating specialized dishes during a time like Raya?
Okay, it depends. Yes, there is a move towards more specialized dishes. But on the other hand, there's also the phenomenon happening at the same time that some of the, let's say, traditional specialized dishes that used to be more common only during festive season are now available throughout the year. For example, when I was younger, it was somewhat rare to have, let's say, ketupat palas during non-Hari Raya, non-festive seasons or non-kenduri, you know. But today, if you want to, you can find all these things in... you can find them if you look for them, or you can easily order them, or they are available in more upmarket restaurants, stuff like that. So, yes, at the same time, there is a move towards more specialized dishes only during Raya. And yet, for some of the dishes, it's the other way around. What used to be very, very special for festive seasons is now available all year round.
So would you consider this shift in the way we consume local food as an erosion of Malaysian culture, or would you view it as more of an evolution?
Okay. There is a bit of both erosion and evolution, but I would venture to say arguably that it's a bit more erosion, actually, rather than evolution. I say erosion because it's not something that is, in a way, like planned. You know, this is not something that families or communities plan. It's something that happens with interference, whereas evolution would be, to my thinking, something that happens a bit more naturally, even if there is no outside interference, as in the glitzy marketing of foreign foods that I was talking about. So I would say it's a bit more erosion rather than evolution, but there's a bit of both. Oh, there are elements of both.
And apart from food, are there other aspects of a culture where you can clearly see erosion happening?
Yes, it is more than just food. It is also in fashion. It's also in musical choices, a lot of things. And I think this is happening worldwide, not just in Malaysia and not just in only particular cultures. It is happening across the whole culture and lifestyle spectrum. The whole world is moving towards more generic culture, and whether we like it or not, a good part of it is based on Western culture of various types, ranging from Italian food to donuts to jeans. You know, this has been happening for a long time, and it is eroding local culture more and more. So it's in a way, this is also what globalization is about, for better or for worse.
So this might be a bit of a silly question, but should we be worried by this loss of culture that we're experiencing?
I think there should, because when a local culture is missing or is eroded or is even gone or extinct, then it is such a pity for the whole humankind as a whole, because the diversity is what makes us all have an identity and a way of showing the diversity and the varied intelligence of human beings. So in a way, if everybody becomes the same, if everything is eroded down to one single common culture, I would say it's like a dumbing down of the global culture overall. So it is something of concern, and I do think that many professionals in the field of culture and lifestyle studies are also concerned about this, because we want that diversity that is part of how humans evolve. But then again, if this is what the evolution of globalization is happening, then it's not that easy to stop. But still, we have to do something to preserve local cultures everywhere.
So in your opinion, is there enough effort being made to preserve culture and heritage? And could you imagine a single body that could be spearheading these initiatives?
It's really difficult to say. We can't really, I think, lay the responsibility on the doorstep of any one entity. Not even the government. It's not as easy as that. If it were, then actually we wouldn't have this problem. But as a whole, each community should understand its culture, cherish its culture, while of course not considering that it is superior over others. But it should, the communities themselves should lead the way to ensure that their traditional fare, their traditional lifestyle, their traditional fashion, music, dance, whatever it is, are preserved, because that is part of the intelligence and the wisdom and the heritage of their ancestors. So it should be each community that maintains it. I think, though, that today there is the beginnings of a realization that we need to preserve our culture. And I do see people or small groups that are beginning to take the lead upon themselves to try and preserve recipes, to preserve the busana or fashion of the traditional of the traditional lifestyle. So there is a reaction to the globalization or even westernization that is happening.
Naj, thanks very much for those insights. That was food and heritage historian Naj Arifin. If you have any thoughts, you know, have you noticed any dishes going missing during cultural festivals? You can send that to us, WhatsApp 01878 9899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Call 7733 2900. You're listening to the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.